It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come to drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your son and your daughter. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Wonderful being with you today here at Bible Home Church. Glad to be with you. It's a wonderful day, and we're going to be starting a new series today on how to escape the bondage and pollution of this world. How to escape the bondage and pollution of this world. But before we do, we appreciate so much the love gifts that we get from our friends out there throughout the United States, and you're keeping us afloat, my friends. And I appreciate the Holy Ghost in inspiring you to give to us. Without you, well, we just couldn't keep these programs coming to you, and we do hope you're enjoying these programs each week, both the music and especially the sermon. You know, it's the foolishness of preaching, the Bible says, by which men come to know Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, sometimes I think I'm the biggest fool in the world, but I'm going to keep on preaching anyway. And as long as I use as my text the Word of God, I know I cannot go wrong, because God is the greatest intelligence in this universe. In fact, He created the universe. So there's only power that can be found in the Word of God, only goodness, only righteousness. And that's why I know the power that comes when you listen to these programs. I may be a pretty poor choice of a vessel, but I leave that up to God in preaching. I may not be the best preacher in the world, but you know, I just stay close to the Word of God. And then I know God will magnify His message as long as it is of Him. And that's my greatest desire, to serve Him. And it's a thrill to do so. I believe it's an opportunity to preach, to witness to others. It's not a burden. And by the way, if you have a prayer need, I wish you would write to me and let me know about it. That is not a burden either. It's a privilege. It's an honor to pray for you. Whatever your need is, maybe a lost one that needs a touch of Jesus Christ in their life. And I'm telling you, that's all you need, a touch. Remember the woman that just touched the hem of His garment, and she was healed of a blood disease. So God can touch lives today, and He will. And it's only right that we pray for that, for our lost loved ones. There might be some problem in your life. Maybe you're having problems at work, with a neighbor, perhaps with children, with the family. Maybe husband and wife are arguing, maybe on the verge of a divorce. Maybe there's an illness in your family. Maybe you've been diagnosed with a disease or with a sickness. Well, even there, God can move. He can work miracles. He can do it. I know I've had miracles in my life, healings of everything from progressive kidney failure to Alzheimer's. I've seen some amazing things done by God. You know, with God, all things are possible. Isn't it wonderful to know that? It doesn't mean now that He does all things. He does what is best for you. And that's the nice thing, too. We pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He does those things for our benefit that are needful. Okay? And He can give you a new job. He can give you a pay raise. He can give you better relations with your husband or your wife. He can bring more happiness and joy into your life if you pray for those things. He can do it. And I would be honored to pray for you. Because God says that when His children are in agreement, well, He listens all the more. Doesn't mean He won't listen to your personal prayers. But I'll tell you what, I know He listens to my prayers. And why don't you let me help you out? I'm your friend. Tex is your friend. So write to me and say, Brother Tex, I have a need. Would you please pray for this need? And I'll be glad to. And by the way, I don't think there's anything that's small in God's kingdom. You may say, well, Tex is so busy. And by the way, I am. You may say, oh, I don't want to burden him with this. Well, if not me, then who? If you can't tell a friend of your need, who are you going to tell? And I consider you my friend. Please let me know of your need. We'll pray for you. And by the way, to get us to pray for you, you don't have to give an offering or a love gift. That's separate. That's separate, okay? If you want to give this ministry money, and we need your gifts, but you don't do that just to try to get us to pray for you, okay? A man wrote to me not too long ago, and he sent a $10 bill, and he said, this is for your prayers. Well, we don't pray when you pay us money. We put the money into the ministry, and we use it for the service of God. But we'll pray for you no matter what, okay? So don't tie your money to prayer, okay? Then I lose a blessing, you see? If I'm going to pray for you because you give us a love offering, then, and only for that reason, if I don't pray for you, if you don't give me a love offering, well, how much reward am I going to get from God for that? So, again, we need your love gifts and your financial help, but you don't buy prayers with us. We do it because we love you and we want to pray for you and help you out. And by the way, I'd appreciate if you'd pray for us. We're always amidst the fire here at this ministry. As you know, we come up against the devil, and there's nothing like the prayer of the saints. I don't want to be dramatic, but I know that I would be dead today. There are people, and we receive messages from time to time. People say, hey, so-and-so is going to whack you, going to kill you, terminate you. We had some homosexual activist, some nut, call up some time ago, and he said, I think it was a couple of years back now. I can't remember because we get these messages periodically. He said, I'm in my car now. I'm on my cell phone calling you, and I'm on my way. And Tex Mars, I'm going to be your worst nightmare. And he sort of insinuated he had a gun or a weapon. He was on his way right down the road from us in his car driving up. He was going to do us harm. Well, he never showed up. And, you know, we never left our office. We didn't lock the front door. We were here, you know. But God protects us, you see. I'm convinced that if you don't have the protection of God, you better not go against the devil. If you've only got the devil on your side, don't go against him. My friends, listen to me. Don't grab a hold of a rattlesnake and think it won't bite you. But on the other hand, if you got God in your life, let him handle the rattlesnakes. I don't have to handle them. He's a lot better snake handler than me. He'd get rid of those rascals. I don't have to deal with them. You see, I just have God on my side. Okay, we have a beautiful song. You know, this is a song that I've always liked. It really became a big selling song on the hit parade charts, you might say, the top 40 and so forth. Old Kris Kristofferson, I wish he were truly a born-again Christian. As far as I know, he is not. But you know what? At one time or another, maybe God was dealing with him, and he surely wrote a beautiful song. It's called Why Me, Lord? And the man that sings it is a Christian, Bob Kane, a true man of God, and I think you're going to enjoy this song, Why Me, Lord? By Bob Kane. And then immediately thereafter, we'll begin our message series for today.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown.
Around the world. You know, we have so many friends that write to us, and I'll tell you, I could not be pleased more in receiving your letters. They're a great encouragement to me, and I just want to thank each of you who send us letters and cards, who write to us, who encourage us here in the ministry, and those of you who give to the ministry. Well, you know, God, He's the one, I think, that is going to reward you a lot more than we can. But I look at every name, and I truly thank God personally for you. And I ask God, our Savior, to reward you accordingly. Now, you say, well, that's prosperity gospel. No, it's not. I don't know how He's going to reward you. But He certainly could give you riches. He could give you riches of a magnitude much more than the world can give you. You know, over the span of my lifetime, the worst times of my life is that I can remember is mainly when I've been in physical difficulty, when I've had back ailments and headaches and, you know, just the old typical body joints and such hurting. And from time to time, I have a tremendous problem with my back. And now, I know you're very kind, but please don't write me letters on this, because many of you will start giving me your home remedies and all that, and I've got so many of those. I'm pretty well able to take care of it now. And, you know, sort of like the Apostle Paul, he said there was a thorn in his life. We don't really know what that was. But God gave it to him, or at least left it with him. And he said, because when you're weak, you depend more on me. And I'll tell you, when I'm feeling just down in the back, so to speak, I can barely walk, barely get out of bed. I tell you, I sure look to God a lot more than just in the normal day's activities. And I think about communicating with God a lot more. And maybe that's God's way of saying, now, Tex, you know, I'm going to make sure you pray enough. And So maybe that's what it is. But I thank God in all things, even with any kind of physical problems that I might have, because I know this body is just a temporary vessel. It is, friends. Remember that. You are an eternal creature if you know Jesus Christ. You're going to live forever. And you're not going to have this body, but, oh, maybe 70, 80, 90 years or less. And then you're going to go on to an immortal body. We don't know what form that's going to take, but I'm telling you, I'm ready for it. How about you? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every time I look in the mirror, I say, I think I'd like that new immortal body today, Lord. And maybe one of these days, I know there's going to come a time when I'm going to have that body. Well, we're going to talk about something today that I think is very essential. It's not about the conspiracy. It's not about politics. It is about economics. It's about your personal attitude toward money and economics, in fact. Today's program, we're going to be discussing the subject, how to escape the pollution and bondage of this world. Now, some people might be saying right away, well, I know a way to escape. I'll just go up to the top of a mountain, get myself a little cabin, and just live up there and stay away from civilization like the old Catholic monks did back in the medieval time. And evidently, there's a few Catholic monks and nuns that are cloistered and doing it today. I wonder what good they do. Well, they claim to be in meditation and prayer a good part of the day. That must edify themselves if they're true Christians, which I doubt. It might make them feel good being able to talk to God a lot more and deprive themselves, deny themselves. But you know, they're not doing much to help those who are lost, are they? They're not fighting the good fight. They're not exposing the darkness and unmasking the works of the devil, are they? They've just withdrawn from the fight. They've already given up. They've surrendered. They're going to go hide out in some cave or in some mountain den or some forested area amidst the trees and say, I surrender. Not to Christ, but to the world. But listen to me, my friends. We're in this world for a reason. I'm in quite a large city here. It has a little bit over a million population, metro area, Austin, Texas. But it doesn't matter whether you live in a town of 500 or 500,000 or 5 million. God has put you there for a purpose. There are people that you need to meet and encounter. There are fights that you need to take up. Most people today are very non-confrontational. They've been taught to be politically correct and to not make trouble for anybody over anything and not to offend in the slightest way. What does the Bible have to say about that? Well, to paraphrase the Bible, this is not a good paraphrase, it says baloney. It says, get out there and put your old boxing gloves on, which the Apostle Paul calls more accurately. You can tell I'm a boxing fan, you see. But the Apostle Paul called it the whole armor of God. Now, we're going to talk about this pollution and bondage of the world. There's a lot out there, and you say, I can't escape it. Oh, yes, you can. You can. Even when you immerse yourself in it. You can escape it. You know, back when Teflon first began to be used on frying pans and irons and such, I was really amazed. Goodness, things don't stick to it. Isn't that amazing? You just immerse it in grease and, you know, food materials, but they just don't seem to stick to it. They say that during the presidency of Ronald Reagan, they called him the Teflon president. No matter how much the liberals tried to get a hold of him and make up stuff about him. Of course, some of it may have been true. But nevertheless, it didn't seem to stick. They called him Mr. Teflon. Well, I think God has made us like that. Oh, I know the devil throws us darts. Sometimes he throws us guided missiles, ICBMs, nuclear, tipped. I'm telling you, that's pretty heavy armament he sends our ways. But it seems that we can be like Mr. Teflon, but only if we have God in our lives. Otherwise, let me tell you, my friends, you're going to sink like the Titanic. But people have asked me, Tex, what do you think is America's greatest weakness? What is its Achilles heel? Is it our leadership? Well, that's pretty weak, isn't it? Pro-New World Order. They seem to be anti-Bill of Rights, anti-Constitution. But friends, that's not what our greatest weakness is. That's not what we need to guard against to escape the pollution and bondage of the world. Not our leaders. They really have no impact on your life as a Christian. I began to think about that question. What is America's greatest weakness? Because it could be your greatest weakness too, and mine. I suddenly realized the things that are the most danger to us are those things which we crave. You see, I oppose the New World Order. I oppose communism and socialism and fascism. I oppose the unfair world around us. I oppose the sin and the perversion that I see in movies and videos. I oppose all these things and music, and I can go on and on. They don't threaten me. Not at all. The IRS, the FBI, the BATF, they don't threaten me. What can they do but take my body? Throw me in a cell, torture me. But ultimately, I'll just go on to be with the Lord. They can't harm me. I'm a greater danger to them because I tell the truth. And we're a threat to them because they are part of the lie. That's not what our greatest weakness or threat is. Let me tell you what it is. You'll be surprised. What Americans crave the most and what our greatest weakness is contained in these four words: freedom, liberty, security, and prosperity. You may be surprised for me to say that. Those four elements, I am convinced, make up most of the pollution and bondage you're going to encounter in this world. They will enslave you, the desire, the craving for freedom and liberty, security, and prosperity. Did you know that Satan's fondest doctrine, any occultist would tell you this, and I've certainly studied occultism and paganism and all of the false mystery religions of the past, they all promised freedom and liberty. Even Aleister Crowley, the British Satanist, and Anton LaVey, head of the Church of Satan, said, our goal in the Church of Satan is to bring mankind freedom and liberty from the shackles of that superstitious God. Oh, they will bring you freedom and liberty and hell. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, says the satanic chief commandment. Of all their commandments, that's it. Do as you want to do. Do your own thing. That's the whole of the law. Freedom, liberty. But friends, that's the road to bondage. Now, security and prosperity seem to grip the lives of Americans. When terrorist incidents occur, people seem to panic. Fear takes over. Paranoia. A craving for security. And then, of course, we know about prosperity. When President Bill Clinton, and no man was more wicked and debauched than that gentleman, if you could call him a gentleman. But his chief political advisor made up a little sign the first time that he ran for president. He would get off on tangents and in his speeches and such. And his advisor, James Carville, made up a little sign, and he wrote on it, "It's the economy, stupid." And he put that around the office of Bill Clinton, wherever Bill Clinton was. He would put that little handmade sign up so that Bill Clinton could remember today when he goes out to meet people, all he has to do to win their vote is to promise them more and more money. and prosperity. We're going to do the things to get you jobs, better jobs. We're going to improve things. We're going to give you free money. The government has plenty of money. We'll just tax the rich and give you more and more. The economy will go sky high with us. Vote for Bill Clinton and, of course, beautiful Hillary, my lesbian doll wife. It's the economy, stupid. And, you know, that wasn't forgotten by George W. Bush when he ran for president. His father forgot it and lost. They say that the greatest motivator in election is the pocketbook. Stick to the pocketbook issues, and you can win people's vote. Prosperity. When 9/11 occurred, we were told by our leaders that Muslim radicals attacked us. Why? Because they hated our freedoms, our liberties, our prosperity and riches. In a nutshell, our way of life. They hated our way of life. That's what we were told. This, we are told, is also why we Americans revolted against England. Why they taxed us too much. Put a tax even on our tea, and we revolted. Folks, today they put taxes on everything.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.